You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
I would honestly say that the fans in the countries that we went to over there, South Korea, I've done Japan twice, and then Taiwan, they, I think, might be super fans. They're especially because of the cultural difference for women. You know, it's a very modesty, respect-driven culture. And to see women on stage scantily clad and being powerful and sticking it to a man and kind of delighting in that is very much like the antithesis of, you know, centuries of culture. So I think there's a little bit of, you know, a lot of appeal with that.
The yearning of just wanting to stick it to a man. I just, man, what a dream.
I mean,
those women up there, if only I could stick it to a man, those freaking beasts. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you haven't tried out Built for the Stage yet, go to builtforthestage.com and you'll get paired up with your own Broadway fitness coach where you'll work one-on-one on an interactive fitness app. If you want to check out our new clothing line, Places Please, you can check that out at also builtforthestage.com. Sports bras, leggings, sweatshirts, shorts, joggers, hats. We got it all. Check it out. We'd love for you to rep the brand. As always, we have a special guest for us today. But before we get to our guest, special thanks to the Broadway Podcast Network for producing this episode. Also, I'm back here in Miami. I ran away as Miss O. Omicron has just went rampant across New York City and the country. I was bored I'm quarantining in a way. I'm just trying to stay safe before going out to the holiday, but I put together this office chair and I'm actually a little nervous. So I'm just getting it out of the way right now. If in the middle of the conversation, I stop talking and our guest starts laughing, it's because the chair that I put together fell apart and I fell onto the floor. I'm not much of a mechanic of sorts. I actually struggle to change a light bulb. So this chair that I'm sitting on, who knows what's going to happen. But if it brings you guys some joy, I'm all for it because we need a lot of that nowadays. Recently, you've seen our guest on the stage of Chicago on Broadway. She actually, it's probably been a long time coming. We can get into it because she's been in the show Chicago three different times in different productions. She can check me on that, but I'm looking at her resume right now. But I can't wait to get into this. Please welcome to our Built for the Stage podcast. She's correcting me right now, I think, on the number of times she's been in it. Welcome, Nicole Benoit. Hey, Nicole.
Hey, Joe. Thanks. Always bringing the joy.
Yes. I can't
for this mishap with the chair. I'm hoping it happens. You know, live theater, right?
Yeah. Thanks so much for those well wishes. I appreciate it. All right. So wait. So you've been in Chicago how many times?
So I have done two tours, mm-hmm. one cruise ship, and then one regional production.
Yeah, CLO.
Before hitting the B-way.
We're missing your Chicago performance on a cruise ship. That's what mm-hmm. I'm not seeing. Let's see. Can you see?
Oh yeah,
that
one got snipped out a little bit.
Didn't make the cut.
Some people have feelings about cruise ships, but I mean, it was cast by the Broadway company. That was my initial in for the entire Chicago family. But I had a couple other jaunts in the meantime, so I was like, okay, we'll take this one out for now, you know.
Yeah. So what was the anticipation like when you got the call to be in the Broadway production, having so many familiar times with it on tour, on the ship, at CLO? Just walk us through that, and I'd love to get into your recent drama of amazing. Like, you're on, you're off, you're back on. So I can't wait to chat about that as well.
Yeah. Well, getting the initial casting, let's go back to the cruise. The cruise was my very first time, joining in with the family. And that was a whirlwind in itself. It was a show that, ironically, I remember wanting to go see my friends perform at a community theater production when I was in high school. And my parents did not let me go because it was not in good taste with the family. Ha ha.
Too much razzle dazzle. It was too much razzle dazzle.
Too much razzle dazzling for this teenage Nicole. The ironic twist, of course, is that I get cast in it, and I got cast in a role that I had not actually ever read for. So that was the first time that the shenanigans began. And this has been a rolling theme for over 10 years now for me, on and off with the company. Fast forwarding to, just this past fall, Broadway has reopened. All of us are in a pretty resolute state of, is this really going to last? This is so exciting, but also, with trepidation. And I get the call. It was a couple weeks after they'd opened and needed a replacement within 3 days. So as many of us who were not brought back in for, productions we were already contracted for when the pandemic hit, I had not done the show in a long time. So to have that call of, hey, do you think you can just pop in like 3 days and, just do it like old times? And I'm thinking, like, I'm Tin Man Rusty over here, I'm like, why not? Let's do it. So that, yet again, shenanigans, but there's something about artists, performing artists especially, that, we're always, I feel like, in a constant stage of a triage, and when you get that opportunity to just be a part of the team and join the line, you're like, okay, I'm there for it. So all adrenaline in, full focus.
This was way out of nowhere. You hadn't done a recent, maybe like replacements call that maybe sometime soon you could get. No, this was just, hey.
I have been brought in, I will say, for their callbacks before they opened up again. But it was pretty obvious during the callbacks that they were just sort of sussing out who maybe was still in the biz, because as you and I both know, and many of the listeners, there are plenty of people that decided that they were turning the leaf into a different life over the course of the pandemic. My agent was like, let's do this. Let's just show up and say that we're still in the game, whatever form that looks like. And so they did see me, but it wasn't something that was obvious that I was really being considered for something. Or at least in my perspective, I was like, okay, it looks like they've got this person lined up, maybe that person, whatever. So for me, this was very out of the blue,
Cool. All right. Mm-hmm. So you get the call, you do the thing is over. So you think, and then what happens next when we're in the midst of, oh, let me reach out to Nicole, see if she'll be on this podcast, talk about her experience. And then all of a sudden we thought you were good to go. And then you weren't good to go because you went back on.
Yep. So I had gotten a call on a Sunday, right about noon. And you and I were supposed to speak literally 6 hours later and do what we're doing right now. And that call at noon said, hey, can you be in the show tomorrow night? And this is for a different track. That being said, that first time that I was also brought in was a track that I'd never played regularly on the road. So it was a brand new track for me. So already shenanigans. So this track that they were calling me in for that interrupted our first interview was a track that I'd played, but it was 5 years ago that I had last played that track. But still, you slip into the glove, and the show in itself and its, in its wholeness is in my bone marrow. It's just figuring out what number am I on? Which direction am I facing for this? What am I doing in architecture and domestic? What am I doing? So that was a little less pressure, I guess, existentially, because I'd done it before, but just not with this company. So also, had no time to process, just had to say, go, let's play ball. And that happened for another week.
Mm-hmm. And was this your Broadway debut when you
My Broadway debut was the initial call for the, with the 3 days notice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And how exciting was that?
You know, thrilling, but again, because there were so many other factors, like I haven't done this show in a long time. We're coming back from COVID. None of us have been able to really dance and maintain ourselves, certainly like dance class wise, performance wise, like we used to. There was enough mental chatter that was like, I hope I do this justice for how I've always wanted this to happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't truly until this exact moment of standing in the alley in Chicago. For those that aren't familiar, if you're familiar with the Broadway production, the ensemble sits on either side of the bandstand in these alleys, and they're essentially like voyeurs watching the entertainment in the middle. And so at the end of the show, we come out for bows, we line up in the alleys, each side respectively, and I finally looked out into the audience and saw the audience clapping, and it was the first time that I had this thought of, I've always been on that side of the proscenium, and I'm finally on this side now. So it was not until that entire week had passed and the show had gone did it really finally sink in, and that was, I mean, just a magnificent feeling.
Yeah, I'm sure. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Sitting in those alleys is not an easy thing. I've seen the show, and you know, I have to say transparently, some performers do it better than others. It's definitely hard to stay in character and engaged when you're just sitting there watching show mm-hmm. after show after show. So I'm sure for the people that have been in it for a hot second, that the alleyways are a bit of a tough scene for them. Yeah. I say that in jest. So congrats again. The second time you go on and the first time, were there any hiccups? Were there any funny stories, or is it just flawless? You went up there and just cranked it. You just nailed it.
There were absolutely flaws. Absolutely. you know, many who have ever done swinging in last minute, especially, will be familiar with the phrase shove with love. And I essentially walked around backstage before the show in my frenetic way. And I was like, everyone, shove with love is for real with me. I like it rough. Let's do it. Like, if I'm going the wrong way, shove with love and be rough, because otherwise I'm, you know, I know. I mean, and that stage is small. It is a postage stamp. So the margins for risk in those heels for such specific stylized movement, you know, you're going to muck up a lot if you're really lost. So, you know, the first couple shows weren't bad. It was just like little things, but it is interesting. The things that I made little mistakes with the second time around were unexpected mistakes that were habits from years ago that just suddenly in the middle of performance came back. And it's as bizarre as it is kind of amazing that your body holds that much memory. I mean, I don't even know what tour or what version some of these little hiccups were, but I was like, wow, that is definitely from, I don't know, Japan, like 2017. I don't know. I'm not sure, but that doesn't belong on Broadway.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that With brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So one of your tours was international?
I've had two tours that are international. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, nice. And they're just as big of Chicago fans overseas as they are here in the States?
You know what? That is a great question. I would venture to say, so the two tours that I did, both went to Asia. And I would honestly say that the fans in the countries that we went to over there, South Korea, I've done Japan twice, and then Taiwan, they, I think, might be super fans. They're especially because of the cultural difference for women. You know, it's a very modesty, respect driven culture. And to see women on stage scantily clad and being powerful and sticking it to a man, and kind of delighting in that is very much like the antithesis of, you know, centuries of culture. So I think there's a little bit of, you know, a lot of appeal with that.
Appeal of the yearning of just wanting to stick it to a man. I just, what a dream.
I mean,
those women up there, if only I could stick it to a man, those freaking beasts.
But, you know, I will say, I think it's also just the essence of that style of music. You know, it is, again, it's the opposite of what those cultures have in their, you know, litany of music and, music that's just kind of down and dirty and little grungy. And that trumpet solo right at the end with the, right at the beginning with the growling, you know, it just, it's a party. And I think they really envelop that. And they would always lines and lines and so many gifts and so many flowers. I was like, I've never felt like a celebrity like I did in Asia, but I'm also very tall. And so that was also a bit of wonderment. So I don't know if I just got special attention because of that. yeah, but certain cities in the States, I would say, kind of draw in, you know, that heightened fandom. But I definitely think it's a different level over there.
Sure. All right. Well, thanks for your insight and your time talking to us about Chicago. Let's get into who Nicole Benoit is from the West Coast, right? A West Coaster. Is that what you had shared? Where are you originally from?
So I'm from a tiny little orchard town that's in the center of Washington State. It's called Wenatchee. Tiny. But it's a cute little town. I grew up in
Sounds like a Hallmark town movie.
You know, it's literally a 45-minute drive from one of the number one, like, rated global, like, holiday town. So it very much feels like it's in that vicinity of Hallmark land, for sure.
Yeah. I could see that. Okay, cool. So now you're over here. When did you get to New York City? When did you make the move? Were you always wanting to be a stage actress? How did this all happen? How'd you get over here?
So it all happened. I'll start and say that both my parents, I grew up in a very musical family. Both my parents are retired, public music, teachers or public school. There we go. Public school music teachers. And, so my mom played guitar and sings, a little bit of piano. My father is a phenomenal trumpet player. And music was, I wouldn't say it was a requisite, but it just was always around. And so I grew up singing, playing piano. I was dabbling as a teenager in dance, and then the bug really hit with dance. And the conversations of, Nicole, you need to choose whether you're going to be a dancer or you're going to be a pianist or whether we're going to sing, you know. And I was plenty good at lots of other reasonable subjects like science and mathematics and whatnot, English. But the choice of having to say no to one of those art forms was actually what propelled me to pursue musical theater, because I could not choose. I couldn't shove one of those delicious slices of the arts off my platter. So I was like, well, shoot, you know what combines all of them? Musical theater. Ha ha, I win. So I decided to do, like, just take that chance of, like, I don't know what my life looks like without this. I've invested so much. I'd already had multiple injuries and a surgery because of my dancing. I was like, I just got to make this happen, you know, for what it's worth. So after graduating high school, I went to a school in upstate New York. I dual majored in musical theater and dance, and I had a minor in voice, still continuing my channel of being overly ambitious and not being able to say no. And I've been in New York ever since. So I'm actually celebrating almost, no, I will be celebrating in 2 weeks, 11 years in New York City proper as a resident.
All right. That's congratulations. All right. About the same. Yeah. 11 years. All right. So here you are in New York City, fresh off a Broadway debut. Also talked about you being a yogi, you just having to move. Yeah. You also are an entrepreneur with your own business where you help students, you coach them through, I'm assuming, anything that they need in the performance realm. Tell us a little bit about that, how you decided to take that plunge, because it's not for everyone. It's not natural to everyone. And it is another hill to climb on top of being a theater artist, which is already difficult, then to be an entrepreneur on top of it and try to do your own gig in itself is another mountain to climb. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I've always been very introspective. And I think many artists, you know, by nature, we have to be, and to produce good work. And I knew that it was a rarity for someone from my hometown to pursue this as a career. And I had the right support behind me to just say, oh, okay, well, she looks like she might be able to make it. So let's just, you know, keep on encouraging that. And that's not the case for many kids, whether it be because of, you know, familial lack of support or financial lack of support, perhaps a lack of really fine training institutes that might be local to them. And the bug really hit me to want to give back. I think it's also, you know, apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? Both my parents are teachers. So I think the educator gene just, I got that. And I started going back and forth quite a bit when I was in college to come back and teach solos and, you know, talk to the drama clubs at schools or academies, or I'd do a dance master class, whatever it was. So I was always doing, you know, peppering my my university studies with teaching and giving back. I actually started in 2014, was the inaugural year. I started a nonprofit in my hometown that was interdisciplinary, that really tried to bring all of these aspects of the arts, including visual arts, in. And I had that for 4 years, just integrating all of those, creating larger concert pieces. And it was a lot to manage bicoastally. So I let that go after, you know, a number of years. And I realized that there was still such a niche that was interesting, not just interesting, but it was kind of like a crave in me to be able to help and assist with people who are young entrepreneurs, you know, aspiring artists here in New York City, because it is so expensive. It is so expensive to get training, you know? And I think that we're oftentimes directed when we're beginning that musical theater training, like, oh, you have your strictly voice teacher and you strictly have your dance teachers and you strictly have your acting coach. And sometimes it's hard to find that management and merge between all of them. And I felt like I could do that for kids. And I shouldn't even say kids, you know, those that are interested in wanting to know how the heck do you do all of that? Cause that illustrious phrase of the triple threat, you know, so many people want to have that as part of their title, but they don't necessarily have someone that has accomplished all three of those aspects or has been actively managing those. So that's the name of my own little studio, Triple Threat Training. And I have students, thanks to COVID, you know, I have students that are all across the country now that they can select for themselves, like, hey, I really want to work on this one particular monologue. Can we also do dancing? And they know that with training with me, they can depend on my expertise of being able to have knowledge of, like, okay, great, this works really well in the city. This doesn't really feel like it's your style. How do you feel connected with this? How are you, you know, all the questions, so that they don't feel like they have to suddenly go and find people for every little thing, you know? That was the inspiration. And it's, I think it's been really fruitful for a lot of the students, having that one person.
Now, we have a lot of students that listen to the podcast, and we have college kids that are clients of ours. Would they just go to your website, NicoleBenoitOnline.com, or how would they find out more about the Triple Threat Studio?
Yeah, so they can definitely go to the website. I have a little section on there. There's also hyperlinks for lessons.com and Thumbtack, which I know a lot of teachers have been utilizing. I've also been reached out to via Instagram. I'm not really so much on Facebook anymore, even though I have a profile there, but I'm accessible and I'm always there for especially answering questions. I offer a quick free consultation for people just to see if it's a right fit, you know? But I mean, I would say the website probably gives the best option to look at what I offer and then proceed from there.
Nice. All right. Well, it's super easy, everyone. NicoleBenoitOnline.com, or that's her Insta as well. NicoleBenoitOnline. I'm a huge advocate of education and teachers, love my teachers, but there's nothing like learning from someone that's actually currently in the mix of doing the thing. So if you want some guidance from someone that actually has their boots on the ground, or their, you know, feet dug into the sand, if you will, hit up Nicole, see if she can help you out and see if it's a good fit. Nicole, that's it for today. I appreciate your time. I appreciate getting to know you. Congrats on Chicago again. Hopefully maybe you make another scurry up on the stage. You never know with the way things are going.
You never know.
I have a friend that's was the assistant choreographer in Doubtfire, and then all of a sudden they're a part of the cast. They're like, hey, you're in the show now. Okay, sorry.
No. It's such an extraordinary time. It really is.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. That was Nicole Benoit. Make sure you check her out on Instagram or her website, NicoleBenoitOnline.com. You can check that out in the description of this episode. Once again, thanks to our producing team, Broadway Podcast Network. If you want to try that free trial, go to BuiltForTheStage.com. Again, I'm Joe Roscoe. Happy holidays. It is January by the time this episode comes out. If your head is hanging low because of all the drama going on, you know, just pick your head up, keep on keeping on. We're going to make it. And if you need to smile, just think about the one time that eventually I'll fall out of this chair that I poorly put together. Have a great time with your families this coming holiday season. Later.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.